Economics on KGO 810. These days, robots and algorithms search the internet for stories each of us might like to read based on what we've already clicked on. Before the bots, humans were curating that kind of content. And one early website still makes its living doing just that, finding stories people care about. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton has an extended chat with the founder and CEO of FARC.com. Drew Curtis is an internet raconteur, so the conversation quickly switches from quirky stories to universal living wages and a shakedown from Google. Also this week, Techonomics continues to push back against fake news. The term is desinformatia. That's the name of a common practice that's been coming out of Russia for a long time. We'll look at how to prevent becoming victims of fake news and disinformation. All that and a little more on this week's edition of Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
You must be raving mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. I'd like to take us back to a time before automatically generated news feeds, before people lost their minds because Google was taking away its RSS feed. Seriously, was anybody else addicted to that thing? Back to a time when the air was leaking rapidly out of the Silicon Valley bubble, a time when the website and subsequent newsletter FARC.com came into existence 18 years ago. If you don't know FARC, that's okay for now. FARC is a curated news feed of the day's most interesting stories on the web. Then those stories get hilarious headlines, when appropriate, of course. And they get tagged with categories: breaking, interesting, awkward, strange, and Florida. Florida gets its own news tag on FARC.
I wasn't really on board with it because I was like, okay, I mean, we get a weird story from them once in a while, but there can't be that many. So finally, I capitulated and we just tested it out, and holy crap, what the hell is going on in that state? I mean, it's just insanity.
I'm not proud of that giggle, by the way. But this week, we have FARC founder Drew Curtis on. Drew is not just an entrepreneur. He's also a Cal Berkeley MBA, and he's writing a new book. More on that book about impending technology is in the next segment. We also drift into a theme on Techonomics, the idea of universal living wages, also known as universal basic income. It's a rather libertarian idea, really, that is mistaken for socialism. But either way, it's being considered because of disruptive technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and robot labor. The one glitch we've found in implementing a universal basic income so far is healthcare. Now, that's a snag.
But then get to health insurance, and therein lies a problem. So when I was 24, I ran my car into a telephone pole, and I went to the insurance, and they gave me a $1,200 check to fix it, and I drove out of there, and I spent it on beer.
All right, here's part one of our chat with Drew Curtis.
Drew Curtis, founder, CEO of FARC.com, and guy who monetized ADD.
You walked off the elevator, and I was coming to get you and a jock at an FM station down the hallway from us. He's like, hey, your interview's here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on my way to get him. It's Drew from FARC. And he goes, oh, my God, we talk about FARC all the time.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's like it's really weird that like usually if I try to ask people, you know, like randomly in a crowd, if they've heard of it, it's like a 1 in 5 hit rate, no matter where I am in North America. But with radio stations, it's 100% all the time.
Well, so. Yeah, because we lean on it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine. It's great. I'm glad.
Right. I'm going to get right to the heart of the matter. Where and when did the Florida tag come from? Because that's the most genius tag that I love on FARC. Yeah. I look for the little orange and the Florida as I'm scrolling through.
Oh, I know. Me too. Well, so when that was first proposed, it was after they messed up an election back in 2000.
Yeah, I remember
that. But the thing was, is I wasn't really on board with it because I was like, okay, I mean, we get a weird story from them once in a while, but there can't be that many. So finally, I capitulated and we just tested it out, and holy crap, what the hell is going on in that state? I mean, it's just insanity.
Right?
So that's what happened was we found out, wow, we do actually need this. Okay, so that's where that came from.
You know, that election you mentioned was 17 years ago. How long have you been running FARC.com?
Yeah, 18 actually, 18 this week.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so, yeah.
All right, well, let's get this on the air this week then to celebrate that.
Yeah.
And what brings you to town and where are you coming from?
So I'm based in Kentucky, and I travel a lot out of there because not much going on, you know, so it's and it's easy to get out of. It's also cheaper to live there than here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet by like some magnitudes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's probably not cheaper to buy a walk-up airfare every day, but it's probably close.
Wow.
And so it's really inexpensive to live there, and I like it a lot. But yeah, I'm in town because I'm working on a book, and there's some intermittent travel involved in it where I got to do interviews with people for it.
Cool.
So so this week, actually later today, I'm going to go interview a guy who runs a 3D printing company.
I know you probably can't get into the structure of the book necessarily. You're still doing your reportage, if you will.
Well, actually, I'm half done, believe it or not.
Are you really?
I got up on this thing, man. I read fast, so yeah.
But you're looking at emergent technology.
Yeah, or more like imminent technologies in a sense. That's like better. Stuff like, it's weird to have this conversation in the Bay Area because everybody knows. I mean, you guys see driverless cars all over the place, running over bicyclists. And
yeah, it's what we do.
You know, yeah, it's basically, so this is not news to you. But
thinning out their ranks a little.
Yeah, exactly. But in Kentucky, on the other hand, it's like you tell people driverless cars are out roaming roads and they're like, what? Huh? Are you kidding? Really? Like that's a ways off. And so the point of the book is basically to perhaps inform people so that the first time maybe in history we get out in front of some of these things.
Right.
You know, so and plan for stuff like, you know, 7 million truck drivers not having a job in 5 to 10 years.
That's very true.
You know, that kind of stuff. You
now,
know,
we have covered that on this show.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're here to talk about it.
Yeah. So we have time to do something, you know, like there's still, but you know, 3D printing is the same thing. That's going to fundamentally change manufacturing.
Absolutely.
And again, it's like, so if you work for one of these companies or you, you know, basically the 3D printing thing is a little interesting because there's a lot of indication that you could integrate as the technology develops. Like eventually there'll be a 3D printer where your grandmother will roll into the kitchen and yell, give me a fork, and spits out a fork.
Right.
But before we get to that stage, there's this intermittent process that where people that make simple manufacturing items could probably scale their thing up.
Yes.
And so the trick is basically let's get the people who are making this technology together with the people who use it, together with the people who run this country.
Right.
And get everybody on the same page and be like, so how do we want this to play out? Do we want Star Trek or do we want Star Wars?
I had Vivek Wadhwa on. I don't know if you know that name. But he's a thought leader here in Silicon Valley, whatnot. And he's been here for a long, long time. He uses Mad Max versus Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's his metaphor.
I think Star Wars sucks a lot. I mean, look at the bandwidth problems they got. They got little grayscale 3-inch holograms that have got static in them stuff because AT&T charges too much for bandwidth.
Right.
I mean, there's no wheels because the patent trolls got them, you know.
Who's going to come fix the drone? Somewhere between 9 and 9, they might show up and fix your drone. Come
I mean, I think Star Wars is a deeply subversive alternate future if you look at it, because it kind of sucks.
Right.
If you think about it, and then you get the Empire. Don't get me started on that.
Then you have that old Death Star name.
Which looks suspiciously like the AT&T logo, just saying. Probably a coincidence.
Might be talking about another label coming up for Fark.com. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, 3D technology. Maybe that's an onshoring opportunity for jobs, but what you're saying is that 3D printing might be a cottage industry that needs to be kind of like green shoots need to be fed now.
Yeah, well, it's going to be scaled up. But to me, there's also sort of with every new technology, and we saw this with the internet, there's always like a crap ton of new, you know, service oriented or products that come off of this stuff that didn't previously exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in a general sense, there's probably billion-dollar companies that don't exist yet that will be designing stuff for you to do in your car.
Right.
Well, you've got all this extra time. One in particular, though, that, you know, I was thinking is like if 3D printing becomes so widespread that, like I said, it's got to pass the grandma test. If your grandma can yell at it and it works, we're good to go. Everybody will have one, like, and it'll be right next to the microwave. If we get there, what you end up with is a situation where design matters a whole lot more because now production is whatever.
Yes.
So if you think about it in terms of like, I think like, for example, Lego is going to make a crap ton of money off of this because, you know, I've got a bunch of Legos at home because I got kids.
Right.
And they lose those things all the time, or they get stuck in the bottom of your heel, never be seen again.
Yes.
Yeah. And you got to print these things out, right? Well, so I would basically grab my printer, you know, log in and get my, you know, Lego piece for and pay them like a penny.
Right.
But then a million times a day, you know, or a billion times a day, that ends up. So I think you'll end up with a situation where you could probably make a decent living just designing stuff that gets 3D printed and throwing that up online and hoping people grab your stuff. Some of these things we can predict because the whole point of it is like it's not a futurist book. It's not. We're not trying to get this right. We're more trying to project a range of outcomes involved in it. Where basically, you know, like I said, you could either get Star Trek or Star Wars or something in the middle because the future is not usually linear. I mean, it is when you're looking backwards, but forward, it's more like a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so to point out the possibilities that could happen, because a couple of the technologies we're looking at are real long shots. Like one of them is asteroid mining, which is actually very simple to explain. Go mine an asteroid.
Right.
But the ramifications of that.
They move fast though, Drew.
They do. They do. You got to catch them. But the ramifications of being able to do it, and also the fact that, like, you know, we haven't got any body of case law about this. Like in the late 1960s, the UN passed a resolution saying nobody owns the moon. Okay, that's great. what happens when Elon Musk goes there and does it anyway?
Yeah.
Because how do you stop him? He's on the moon.
How do you serve a TRO on the moon?
Yeah, we can't do anything. You know, or even worse, it's like, let's say that they really don't want to stop. All they got to do is lob a rocket at us. I mean, something like 100 tons across would wipe out D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. You know, and then if that happens, like, whose fault is it?
Yeah,
you know,
like, good topic.
Let's say a Chinese country does, the company does that. Is it the Chinese we got to go, or is we going to go after the company itself? So it actually, that's the one which has got the most sort of ramifications, because there's literally nothing we can do to stop anybody who wants to do anything up there.
I remember extraterrestrial mining being in a headline on CNBC.com earlier this year.
Yeah, they've been, it started, the first time I ever saw it popping around was like about 2010 or 2011 when it was like James Cameron and a couple other guys met up in a back room at TED and founded Planetary Resources, which was one of the first companies to do it. So they're one of them. There's two, I forget the name of the other one, but there's two major companies that are working on it. And Planetary Resources is working on unmanned drones. They're gonna, it's either them or somebody else is attempting a launch later this year to land something on an asteroid, pick something up, and see what they can do with
it. Right, that was the one that was on CNBC, I think. Yeah. That was part one with Drew Curtis, entrepreneur, author, MBA, and founder of FARK.com, F-A-R-K. Now, we've all heard of peak oil, the point we've already passed where drilling oil is a diminishing return. Well, there's peak iron, too, but we can solve that by drilling into asteroids. Yeah, space mining, a space economy. We'll have that next, as well as the coming army of robot labor that's going to have a societal impact that we should prepare for as well.
And instead of giving everybody a welfare check and a healthcare check and a whatever check, you could get one check, and then with that, you could remove the welfare state.
Part two of our chat with Drew Curtis is coming up. Also coming up is a chat with an expert on disinformation and fake news.
In Russian, the word is dezinformatsiya, and because Russians have been doing this for a very long time.
Right. Fake news, real news, and the coming army of robotic laborers. That's coming up next on Techonomics. Please come on back.